Well, we're continuing our study in the book of Romans. And what a joy it is to study the book of Romans over and over each week. Such a great letter, but not always easy. When you come to the book of Romans, probably besides chapter 9, which is not necessarily difficult to understand, but difficult to communicate. Chapter 7, what we're looking at today in Romans, is one of the most debated passages, even in the New Testament. It's even difficult to read, because it's like, I don't do what I do, and I do what I don't want to do, right? It gets a little bit confusing, right? If you read many commentaries, which I have many on Romans, two of which are like this thick, and I've read so much on this passage, you'll find that many scholars don't agree on what it is exactly this passage means. So it is challenging. So today I want you to have your Bible on or your Bible open. You will need it as we dive into this passage. I need to pray and ask for the Lord's help. Oh Lord, I pray that by your Holy Spirit, that your church will hear a better message today than the one I'm about to preach. Pray that you will help me to be clear, help me to be accurate and helpful by your Holy Spirit's power. Thank you, Lord, for what you've taught me in this passage. In Jesus' name, amen. So it's going to be important that we read this text again. So if you'll look on the screen or in your Bible, let's look at it. Romans 7, 13 to 25 again. Did that which is good then bring death to me? By no means. It was sin, producing death in me through what is good, in order that sin might be shown to be sin, and through the commandment might become sinful beyond measure. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it, the law, is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So, I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God, in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am! Who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. So it's such a debated passage, and let me just tell you right now what the debate is and exactly what it means. Number one, is Paul writing, so by the way, you'll see he switches to I. He's not talking about the church. He's talking, he says I, first person pronoun, right? So he switches to I. Is Paul taking, kind of embodying himself as a believer. And so this passage describes Paul in his present state as he's writing, and therefore all of us, and we can relate. Or is Paul writing as his previous self before Christ as an unbeliever? That's what a lot of people say. Now, even within that, some scholars say, well, Paul's writing as an immature believer, or some people even say that Paul is writing and describing a person who is an Old Testament believer who's not experienced the new covenant, all of these different theories. Well, that makes it quite difficult to discern exactly what the meaning is. Well, when we come to any passage, or we come to especially a tough passage, we need to look at the context, right? So I can read this passage by itself, and I'm bringing into that passage all of the things that I previously have thought about it, or what I've been taught, or whatever. But if we're really going to study a passage like this, we've got to know, well, what comes before it, what comes after it, and try to look at the context. So that's very important. I had one of my kids was in a play at school on Friday night, and so after the play, I went to dinner with two of my prayer partners. I have two guys in the city that I pray with, and we went and had dinner together with our families, and we sat together and talked about this passage, and it was a helpful conversation for me. Helpful for me to see it from a few different angles, and like I said, I've done a lot of reading on this text in the past few weeks. So I have generally thought of this passage, how I was taught, that it was, like many of you assume, this is a passage about a mature believer. It's a mature believer who understands very well his indwelling sin. He understands it so well and so acutely and feels it so deeply. Romans 7:15, he says, I don't understand my own actions. I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. So the traditional interpretation, I would say the majority interpretation of this passage, is that this is a mature believer, so mature that he understands the indwelling sin to the point that he understands that sin is present even if he's trying to do good. Now, this is how I've generally thought about the passage, and maybe I liked that interpretation because, number one, I assumed I was a mature believer, and I felt this way so often, like this text, and I considered myself mature, so I was like, oh yeah, this must be what it is because this is how I feel, and I'm a mature believer, so this must be a mature believer. Convenient interpretation, right? Well, this is a true description, I might add, of how a Christian should feel struggling with sin. Okay, so a Christian should feel this way, struggling with sin. We shouldn't just feel like, I'll do whatever I want. But we should feel like, I don't do what I want to do, and that bothers me. Okay, so Christians should feel that way. So the most popular interpretation is that Paul is writing as a mature believer. He knows himself so well, is so in tune with his sinfulness that he describes himself in this way. Now another view would be that Paul is writing about his life before Christ. Because how could a believer, especially what we've read chapters 3, 4, 5, and 6, and chapter 8, how could a believer say in verse 14, I am in the flesh, sold under sin? When he's already said he's been set free from sin, at least the power of sin. Verse 21, he mentions that evil is here with me. Verse 23 says he's captive. That's slavery. Captive to the law of sin. Verse 25 says he serves the law of sin. So people who take that view would say, how can a believer say they're a captive to sin, right? Isn't that the whole purpose of being set free by Christ? That you're set free from the power of sin in order to be sanctified and live a holy life, right? Not a perfect life. Be careful. Doesn't mean that you're perfect. Just means that you should be becoming more like Christ. Okay? So that's another interpretation. So one of the main reasons, though, why some people would say that Paul is writing as a non-believer is because the word Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, is only mentioned in verse 6 of chapter 7, only one time. In chapter 8, the Spirit is mentioned 21 times. So, in a sense, chapter 8, verse 1 is a turning point, talking about the new life in Christ, and Paul is describing his old life there. Now, that's what some people would say. Now, let's get to what I think. And based upon my study, by the way, I could be wrong. Many people disagree, but here is my best interpretation of this passage. And I, too, believe I do have the Spirit of God, just like any commentary would, the person who wrote it. I do not believe that he is representing an unbeliever. Unbelievers are not aware of their struggle with sin. Like Paul. In verse 18, he says that he, quote, has the desire to do what is right. Where does that desire come from? That desire to do what is right comes from the Spirit, right? Even though the Spirit's not mentioned. Verse 22, he says that he delights in the law of God in his inner being. Now, to delight in the law of God in your inner being is not something that is in the Scriptures portrayed as someone who is born again. I mean, it is someone who's born again, right? We don't talk about non-believers who are going, yeah, I just delight in God's Word in my inner being, right? So, based upon what he says, I believe that this is a believer. Paul's a believer, okay? But Paul's like using this as a kind of embodying something else, okay? So, I believe Paul is writing as a believer. But is he writing about the normal Christian life? Meaning, hey guys, all of us should feel this way. Or is this kind of experience to be avoided? Meaning, should we be feeling like, hey, the evil that I don't like, I keep doing? Or should we be feeling like, no, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ that I, you know, am no longer what I used to be and I have repented of sin and I continue to want to do that. So, I've said the context is crucial. So, let's look at this. This text, Romans chapter 7, before we looked at 2 weeks ago and today, Romans chapter 7 is about the law, the Mosaic law, okay? Romans chapter 7, the word law is mentioned 31 times. Okay, so let's just stop here for a second and pause on the manuscript. Let's pause for a second and say this. If you want to understand the Bible, one of the things you have to do is you have to look for patterns. So if the word law is mentioned 31 times in the chapter, that's a pretty good indication that that's what it's about. Okay? Chapter 8, the word Spirit is mentioned a lot, so that should give you some kind of understanding what it's about. Paul has already mentioned in Romans 7, 1-12, that the law, meaning following the law and the law's effect on us, is not the cause of sin. The law is not bad. And now he says, and he will show us in 13-25, that the law, following the law and trying to be, when I say following the law, what I mean is trying to be good all the time in your own strength, cannot defeat the flesh. That's why the title of this sermon is Waging War in the Flesh or with the Flesh. What did I call it? I forget. We need something stronger than just trying to be good. Okay? So, we aren't justified. Romans chapter 3 makes it very clear that we're not justified, meaning we're not saved by law, following the law. And now, I believe what he is saying is that we are not sanctified by the law. We're not sanctified by trying to be good and do everything God tells us in our own strength. We need something stronger than the law. So, where I have landed on this interpretation is this. This passage is descriptive, not prescriptive, but descriptive of a Christian who is trying to wage war with the flesh, by the flesh. He's a Christian, but a Christian who's trying to be better and be sanctified by working hard. We might say it this way, a new covenant believer living in an old covenant way. Or we might say, an immature believer who doesn't know how to wage war in the Spirit. So this was me, like, in my 20s and 30s. Primarily my 20s, where I did not understand how to really fight against the passions of the flesh. Living defeated, trying to be better in my own strength. I would say that defeated Christians in besetting sin often mention Romans 7. Now, I did not say sinless Christians because there aren't any. But Christians who are stuck, we're all stuck in some ways, okay? We all struggle with various things, but stuck in besetting sins and can't stop. And the reason we can't stop is because we're fighting with the wrong weapons. It's kind of like trying to sword fight with a Nerf sword. You know, it just doesn't work. When the flesh has a sharp steel sword and you're trying to fight with a wet noodle. So there's a war going on. If you look at chapter 7, it should really stand out to you that he mentions waging war. I see verse 22, he says, I see in my members another law waging war. So there is a war going on. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. In this case, in Romans 7, it's more like the spirit is quenched, not even mentioned, and the flesh is strong. So I think a key verse is verse 18, if you look at that. I don't have a ton of slides today. I want you just to look at the text. Verse 18 says this, I have the desire, listen to that, I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. That may be descriptive of you today in a certain area of your life, whether it's alcohol or whether it's worry or it's anxiety or whether it's pornography, whatever it might be, I have the desire to do it, but not the ability to carry it out. Desire, yes. Ability, no. Why not? Because waging war with the flesh, with fleshly weapons, does not work. You cannot be holy and sanctified by keeping the law. You need something else. John Stott, it's a quote on the screen here. John Stott, in his commentary on Romans, says this, although they were Christian enough, speaking on this passage, although they were Christian enough to delight in God's law, they were not Christian enough, mature enough, okay, to obey it. They were making the mistake of looking to the law instead of the Spirit for their sanctification. Now, I actually, Stott's interpretation of this passage, I don't agree with completely. But this, I believe, is the truth of what he's saying here. So let's look at some of the passages around Romans 7, 13 to 25, to see what comes before it and what comes after it. So Romans 7, 4 to 6 is foundational. It says, "My brothers, you also have died to the law." Listen to that. "Died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions, aroused by the law, were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we may serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code." The old way of the written code is keeping the law. So you see, this comes right before Paul saying, "But I'm captive to sin," and all these things. On the backside, we'll look at next week in detail, Romans 8, 12 to 13 says this, "So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." That is huge and life transforming. We'll talk about that in detail next week, just exactly what that looks like. And I will mention it today because we have to. So these passages surround and engulf Romans 7, 13 to 25 to make sure that we know that the way to holiness is not through the law but by the Spirit. So when we're waging war against the flesh, by the flesh, we end up like chapter 7, 13 to 25, which is a kind of spiritual schizophrenia. I can see Marie smiling behind her. It's like a spiritual schizophrenia, right? He's like, I kind of am over here, and then I'm over here, and then I'm here, and I'm here, and I don't know what I want to do. I hate what I do, you know. I hate that, but I do it, and I love this, but I don't do it. And in fact, this passage points out, as John Stott pointed out in his commentary, I thought it was really good. He says there are two egos in this passage, two laws, two cries, and two slaveries. The ego, by the way, is I. He says this is the part that I want to do this, and then the other part wants to do this. There are two laws. He says he delights in God's law in verse 22 in his mind. But in verse 23, he says he delights in the law of sin. So you see the dual personality disorder here. Two cries. He says, "What a wretched man I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death?" Then he cries out, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, you have the contradictions there. So in one, he's like, "Who's going to deliver me?" And then he says, "Jesus is." Two slaveries. He says he serves the law of God with his mind. Then he says he serves the law of sin with the flesh, verse 25. So you see, this passage is quite difficult. Now, I'm just going to quickly move to application. So here's the question that we need to ask ourselves in light of this passage. Is this me? So you may say, well, I feel like this a lot in Romans 7. And so the question would be, I think all of us feel that way, and like I said, we should feel that way when we sin. But the question is there some kind of besetting sin that is whipping your tail and causing you to be like 7:13-25. We all still have indwelling sin. We're all not perfect. But Romans 6:14, which he just had mentioned in this letter, is that sin will have no dominion over you. Sin will have no dominion over you since you are not under law but under grace. Not that sin will not be in you, but that it will not have dominion over you. Romans 7:13-25, if we are not careful, brothers and sisters, can be used as an excuse to continue doing things that we know we need to repent of, because we just say, well, I'm just like Paul. You know, I'm just doing the things that I hate, just like Paul did. We must be careful and look at the whole thing. Now, ask yourself this question. Am I trying to live like an Old Testament believer? Just trying to be good and keep all these rules? I'm trying to do all these things in my own strength. Am I trying to live in the new covenant in an old covenant way? Am I trying to wage war with the flesh, meaning fight the desires of the flesh with my own effort? Or am I trying to fight with the empowering Holy Spirit? So here's some things to think about. Does Romans 7:13-25 sound like you often? You often say, well, I don't understand my own actions. I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Or I have the desire to do what is right, but I don't have the ability to carry it out. I've been trying to stop for years and I just can't. You can. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. Not be sinless. We all sin in numerous ways and not even know it. But I'm talking about that thing in your life that you know is sin, but you just can't seem to stop. This is how we sound when we're stuck in unrepentant sin. You feel like you're always trying to get up and then you just get knocked down as soon as you stand up. Well, the question is this: are you attacking those besetting sins with the Spirit or with the flesh? What does that look like? If you're just simply trying to say to yourself, I'm not going to do that anymore. God help me. God help me. God help me stop. I'm not promised, Lord. I won't do it again. I'm going to try harder next time. And you know, next time I'm just going to try to be better, Lord. Then you fall on your face and you say, what's wrong with me? Well, the book of Romans tells us how to do that. Next week we'll look at it, but Romans 12:1-2 tells us we have to be renewed in our minds. We have to be conformed, transformed by the renewing of our mind. So, if we deal with worry, if we struggle with anxiety, when that happens, we don't just tell ourselves, I need to stop worrying, I need to stop worrying. That's fighting against the flesh with the flesh. What we have to do is memorize God's Word, memorize several verses, and talk to yourself. You must memorize God's Word in such a way that you say, be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. That's how we fight. I told you a few weeks ago, if I struggle in any way to lust, I go to John 6:63. It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is of no help at all. We have to fight the flesh with the Spirit, which means the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Not by going, I'm going to try to do better. Trying to do better is trying to be perfected with the law, and it doesn't work. So are you reading and meditating and memorizing God's Word? Specific passages that will help you in the battle? Are you being renewed in your mind? God's Word has told us how to do this. And that is, if we're really going to be victorious and live victorious, we have to wage war in the Spirit. That's not some kooky thing where it's like, I'm waging war in the Spirit. It means memorizing God's Word, meditating on it, and every time you're tempted, drawing that sword out and using it. Well, let's finish by looking again at just a couple of these passages. We need to hear them again. Romans 7, my brothers, you have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to Him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions, aroused by the law, were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we may serve in the new way of the Spirit, not in the old way of the written code. Romans 8, 12 to 13. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. I think this is what Paul means in verses 13 to 25, based on what we see in chapter 6, based on what we see in chapter 8. And next week we will look at waging war by the Spirit in detail. So let me give some quick encouragement to believers. Look, if you say, I've got a problem and I need help, I want to really learn to be renewed in my mind in this area of my life, I'm here to help you. Let's find you some verses. Let's find you some sharp swords in God's Word that you can memorize and meditate on. And you know, sometimes we just don't do it. We don't really do it. We're like, oh yeah, I'll just kind of think about it. It takes more than that. If you're not a Christian, I would just simply have a great word of good news for you. The bad news is you cannot change yourself. Maybe you're here today and you're like, I've been trying to be better. I have been trying so hard to be a different kind of person. I have bad news for you. You're not going to be able to change yourself, because you have sin inside of you. We need an alien righteousness. That means something outside of us, okay? Not like from outer space, okay? We need God. We need the Holy Spirit to come into us and change us and be born again. So just give up. Give up on trying to keep whatever religious rules or whatever religion that you're trying to follow. Maybe it's even in your own head. Just give up trying to do that. And come to Jesus Christ, and He will give you the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will change you. You'll be what's called born again. Let's pray. Lord, so difficult, such a difficult text, Lord. I pray that You will definitely cover my tracks today. Anything that I've said that's been confusing or inaccurate or unhelpful, Lord, just delete it. Lord, and anything that I have said, particularly just your scripture itself, I pray that it would sink into our bones and marrow. And I pray that today would be the day that you would set some people free from those things that nag them, that they've been trying to fight in their own strength for far too long. God, I praise you. I praise you for setting me free from so many things that I tried to be better at. But thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord, that the Holy Spirit is real and your word is powerful. It's a sharp two-edged sword. It cuts and divides, goes even down into our bones and transforms us. Do that for many today, Lord. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, listen, my encouragement to you as I do some announcements, my encouragement to you is, don't take my word for it. Read the Scripture. Read the Bible. Read Romans 7 yourself. Friday morning, I read Romans 1 through 8 to just look at the whole big picture by myself. Do that. God will help you.